Good morning, SEC. Oh, boys. Girls, I am a little under the weather, but who gives a shit? We got too much to get into. We're talking expansion in the SEC. We got coaches talking now. Let's don't forget, camp is showing up. We are 31 days away from SEC football kickoff, and it can't get here soon enough. I mean, we are a month away. Here's a little Will Anderson clip.
Will Anderson is.
Quickly, they get it off. It is intercepted. This is Will Anderson Jr. Touchdown.
Hell yeah, that's what I'm talking about. And I'm going to tell you right now, before we get going too far, as soon as I can figure out these damn buttons, I want to remind the cousins, we are brought to you by MyBookie. Promo code SEC right now. Any deposit you put in there, you will get a match up to 100%. And I think this is awesome because this is the time we want to get those bets in. We're looking at some of these over-unders. We're looking at some of these. The closer we get, you know, you're feeling a little better about one team, a little worse about another. This is the time to get those bets in, and there's no better bet than when it's not your money. So put in that promo code SEC. They will match it 100%. And talking about content, guys, not only is camp starting, okay, but we've got quarterback competition. We've got a rumor floating around that the SEC may be expanding. So we're going to get to all of that. Before we get too far, every time these kids start showing up, because Drink put out a photo yesterday, if you missed it, training camp. You know, Drink is one that we got some comments from. And one of the things about training camp, I can't go without thinking Coach Spurrier.
I tell you what, we had another sorry practice today. These guys, I don't know if we're going to be able to beat anybody this year. Quarterbacks, they can't hit the broadside of a barn right now. I don't know if we could hit that indoor facility right there. Receivers, they couldn't catch a cold if it was the middle of February, dropping everything. Defensive backs, guys, I wonder why they got grass stains all over their jerseys. They fall about every play. About two or three of them are falling. And our kickers, gee. It's like the Army, left, right, they're kicking it all over the place. I don't know if we can beat anybody this year. Guys, man, leadership, nah, we don't have any leaders out here. Guys are soft, they just can't, I don't know. Maybe I ought to give them a week off and start over and see if we can regroup and find some real, real tough guys out here. But it's been a struggle this preseason. It's been a big struggle, man. I don't know how we're going to be. Have you ever heard a coach say that? Have you ever heard a coach say that in preseason? Nah, we had pretty good practice.
The old ball coach, man, I just can't get enough of it. And this is the time. You know, we finally get here. We're within a month of kickoff, and now you're just praying. Fingers crossed that you guys stay healthy because you want to have a successful season. But it's always great. It's that time of year. Everybody's undefeated. You know what I'm saying? You kind of feel it building up. August, especially when my wife told me we're under a heat dome. I didn't even know that word exists, but by God, it did feel like we were under one yesterday. And it's going to be nice when you wake up and it's a little bit brisk in the morning and you can just kind of feel that fall. It can't get here soon enough. But you know what else can't get here soon enough? The gratitude I have for Cousin JR showing up early in the morning. Appreciate you, cuz. I want to give a shout out to Sofa King Sosa. Welcome to the family. And we got a couple others last night. Gus finally figured it out. Gus is now a new member. Gus, welcome to the family. We had a few others late last night join, and I apologize. For some reason, it's removed it. But I do thank everybody for coming up, coming in the morning. So just real quick before we get too far into this, morning hangover, we're going to do this Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So won't be here tomorrow, but we'll be here Wednesday. We'll be here Friday. In the show notes, there is a link. If you want to leave a voicemail, you want to be a part of the show, you can certainly do that. I appreciate that. We got some voicemails we got to get to. But before we get going too far, let's jump in. We got some coach speaking here. Well, I'm sorry, I'm all over the place. This one here, my first miss. Everybody knows I'm a terrible bettor. Well, here's my first miss at Media Day.
Last thing I've got, I did a list the other day. Coaches, first coach in the SEC to get an extension. You're at the top of that list. All right. I knew I liked you.
And I missed. Coach Drink is the one that actually got the first extension. They have extended him through 2029. So congratulations, Coach. Going to be here a while. But this was the hot comments right here. Okay, Scott Hamilton goes on Paul Feinbaum. If you don't know Scott Hamilton, it really doesn't matter. It's the comments that he says. He talks about the expansion, and he talks about a handshake deal with North Carolina.
Scott, you've covered that league a long time, and you know the pecking order, and some people think Clemson and Florida State are at the epicenter, but it seems like North Carolina is the most attractive. We both have heard that from various SEC sources. So assuming that we are correct and North Carolina is the number one pick, then how would you handicap what is next?
I actually have a source today tell me, Paul, that North Carolina has a handshake agreement with the SEC. And I have and that same source tells me Virginia has one with the Big Ten. Now I need some more vetting, some more reporting, but that's pretty much says it all. I mean, that school would be the one to actually maybe have some kind of verbal agreement, understanding, whatever, to go elsewhere. I think that talks about the brand of North Carolina and what that school brings, not just in football. They haven't won a conference title since 1980, Paul, but you look at the basketball, you look at the academics, you look at the Olympic sports, and of course it doesn't hurt to have that Jumpman logo tethered to your school colors. I think it's UNC number one, and then I think it's Florida State, Clemson, Florida State number two after that.
I have said this a million times. I am totally against expansion. I like where we're at. I think we've got a great 16. I'd like to see it stay put. The problem is kids up north keep grabbing everybody. And I wonder, yeah, I mean, talent's talent, whatever. They could have 30 teams up there. There's still going to be a handful of quality product that they can put out there to win or potentially win national championships. But the concern that I have, and concern Mike had brought up yesterday on the show, is that North Carolina being in our back, because it's not just North Carolina, potentially Clemson's another one that's floating around here. You know, if the Big Ten comes down here, now they've got a large footprint right here in the middle of the SEC country. So I get that. But when you look at Big Ten, I got their teams pulled up here. Obviously, they're spread all over the country. They do not have anything in the South. They are at 18. It would not blow my mind if they add two. I think this is where we're ultimately going, is three conferences, Big Ten, SEC, and then what I expect to happen is the ACC and the Big 12 to kind of merge and create this third conference. There's going to be some people left off. Now, this may not happen, but this is just kind of where it feels like it's going, right? So if they add one in North Carolina, if they can add one in South Carolina, yes, they would have a footprint here in the South. But let's look at ACC. If ACC does implode, what teams would the SEC want? North Carolina makes sense because of where it's at. I mean, SEC Networks in Charlotte, we have no presence in that, even though we get a lot of athletes from North Carolina. I think if this happens, I feel like 20, like, don't just do two. North Carolina, whether you got the handshake or not, let's say that happens. Who's the second team? I like Clemson. I don't personally like Clemson. I think there should be a caveat that we don't bring Dabo if this happens. But I think South Carolina, Clemson, it's easy to get to. It makes sense. This is a team. Because at the end of the day, man, I just want to see good football. So Georgia Tech, yeah, they're in a great spot, but 9 times out of 10, we're not going to get good football. We've got to see Georgia and Georgia Tech play, and it's not been too competitive other than last year. But Clemson has won national championships. North Carolina could be exciting with the basketball. But I don't think I don't think 18 should be the number. It's like, if we're going to do it, let's just do it. Let's don't do it now, then have a conversation 3 years later. We should add a couple more teams. I feel like I told Mike that the four teams I feel like we should add, going back here to the ACC, I like Clemson. I like North Carolina. I told him Florida State and Miami just so that we can completely own the state of Florida, but he convinced me Miami was a terrible bet, and I have to agree with him. So I would change that to Virginia Tech. Now, Virginia is apparently already in talks with the Big Ten as being one of those teams that may go north. So it wouldn't surprise me if it's like a Virginia, Notre Dame, or Virginia, Pitt, something like that. But I think for the SEC, kind of keeping this all together, Clemson, North Carolina, Florida State, Virginia Tech makes sense. These are teams that are competitive. These are teams that make football great. And I don't want just, no offense, Vanderbilt. I don't want another Vanderbilt. I don't want a team that we can just destroy every single Saturday, even though they've been good here lately. I'm not bashing Vanderbilt. I'm just saying 9 times out of 10, they're not good. But we had Barry Trammell on at Media Days, and he made some good comments. And if you've not got to see this interview, after this, if you got some time today, be sure to bring it up. Barry was on a damn heater. I don't know if he didn't get to talk to people for 4 days and finally he just kind of let it loose on that SEC podcast. But one of the things that I really enjoyed about this conversation was ultimately fanfare. Not what's important for SEC, not what's important for the Disney, not what's important for these other conferences. What's important for the fans is that we get entertainment, and that's what college football is, and we want to be entertained every single Saturday. And Barry made some good points here, so I'll catch you on the back end.
But we spend way too much time talking about the playoff and its format. Way too much time. People, I don't think, understand the illness of college football, which is the regular season is not near as good as everybody says it is. The SEC plays only 8 conference games, right? That means 4 non-conference games, and 2 or 3 teams are playing two legitimate non-conference opponents. The rest are just playing one. Oklahoma's playing Temple, Kent State, and Illinois State. Illinois State, 1AA, might be the best of those three. I mean, Temple stinks, and Kent State's the worst FBS team. Literally, they're terrible. That's 3 out of 12. That's 25% of the season is exhibition. Literally. And that's most of the way it is in the SEC and other conferences too. But when 25% of the SEC games are games you don't want to watch, you don't care about, you know what's going to happen, I wish that's what we would treat and talk about and do something about. You know, I got all fired up when I heard Drinkwit say he wanted to play 9 conference games. And then we got to talking about the rivalries and, you know, I give it up to Arkansas. Poor Sam Pittman. They gave him a tough schedule. It's tough in the conference. And then he's got to play Notre Dame and at Memphis. I mean, that's a team that can beat you, and it's right there on the border. So I want to see more good games. You know, I was doing a lot of research about Kansas-Missouri rivalry today, which I knew a lot about it, but I refreshed myself. And wouldn't it be cool if everybody just played good games? Guess who the Kent State Golden Flash or Golden Flames or whatever they are? Guess who they don't play? They don't play the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Tampa Bay's got to play somebody good every Sunday. Now, the worst team in the league can beat you. How much fun would that be if we played a 9 con? Who was it? Somebody in the Big 12 came up with a good. It was Kalani Sitake at BYU. He came up with a great idea. He said, I want to play 9 conference games and then play one game each year. Against all 3 of the other conferences. I want to play a Big Ten team, an SEC team, an ACC team. What a schedule we'd have then. Every game's good.
Nailed it. Absolutely nailed it. And that's why when we look at expansion, for me, again, I saw Duke in the comments. I saw, I've heard everything from Notre Dame to SMU because they got money. And listen, at the end of the day, I want entertainment. If we're going to go to these super conferences, then let's have a super conference. let's have teams in this conference that are actually enjoyable to watch. Clemson, every year, we give them an opportunity to win a national championship. Notre Dame's another one that, for some reason, continuously makes the college football playoffs. You know, so if we're going, I don't care about what their basketball or what their revenue or sure as shit their academics bring to the sport, because we're talking college football here. I want the four best teams that have an opportunity to make this conference better. And so that's my little soapbox on the expansion. If we're going to do it, let's just do it. Let's go to 20. Let's stop hiding from it. And ultimately, I think Barry made a great point. Let's just say, hypothetically, it went to this three-tier system. I would love to see 10 SEC games, and then one from one conference, one from the other, like he was talking about, 12 entertaining games. No more exhibition games. And he's right. Who cares about the college football playoffs when you've got multiple games within the season that are just unenjoyable? So, but we do it. We do it. We're kind of handcuffed, because if you schedule a tough opponent and you lose to that opponent, then you get punished for the college football playoffs. So we see the problem. Let's fix the problem. But you know what's not a problem? Camp showing up. Coach Drink was out here. He was the first one to speak. They are going to be the team playing first in the SEC, and I thought he had some interesting comments. Now, I will be honest with you. Most of them were about the quarterback, so I'm going to run these two back-to-back. But here's what Drink had to say about the quarterback competition.
With the quarterback competition of the timeline, is that something that you're willing to like going to the first game like you did in 2023?
Yeah, we have no timetable on deciding a quarterback. I was actually just thinking about this. I think this is the fourth year going into the year that we've had a quarterback competition. And so we're familiar with it. Hopefully, you know, with that experience comes a little bit more wisdom. But absolutely, you know, when the quarterback's ready, he'll show himself to the team. I think we'll all know who it is. And when that is, we'll tell you. I don't plan on having, waiting to announce because of a perceived advantage. Neither one of them played that much football, so there's not going to be anybody to scout. It's not going to help UCA one way or the other. And if it's undecided, we'll let them hold the games and play as long as we need to.
We didn't think, maybe it's just me. Maybe we do this. We see a kid pulled in from the transfer portal and we just say, well, there's the guy. I don't know if he is the guy, you know, and the more that Coach talks about this, I really do think we have a quarterback competition. In fact, he goes on to say, we're going to be splitting reps here right out of the gate.
50-50 split on those reps, especially early in camp.
Yeah, we've got it mapped out through the first scrimmage to be as close to 50-50 as you can get. But, you know, when you got, I'll say 50-50 opportunities, when you have play-up periods and that kind of thing, which kind of goes back to what is one of the decision-making factors, who gets their group into the end zone?
Well, I guess we do have one. And a lot of people that aren't familiar, obviously they went out here and got Bo. I call him Bomo. I think he's going to be a hell of an athlete. He did make some comments to the reporters after, arrival, and nothing really newsworthy, but did acknowledge that Sam had a little bit of presence in that locker room. Obviously, he's been here for a while, but coming off that Tommy John surgery, how does that look? So, very interested to see this. But like I told Mike yesterday, I'm not a huge fan of quarterback competition, especially if they drag out. You know, Drink went on to talk about this had nothing to do with, yeah, I hate when they do the week one, like we're not going to reveal who QB1 is for week one gamemanship, whatever. But that's not the case here. I feel like this gets answered sooner than later. But until that point, every rep is split, and those reps are so valuable right now, especially with the new quarterback. I'm just kind of curious to see how this one plays out. If Mizzou's going to have the season I think they're going to have, they got to hit the ground running, and they can't afford any mistakes. They got Kansas week two, so Drink did make some comments about Luther. Obviously, he's not in the locker room right now, but did express his gratitude for what he brought to the campus.
You know, can't thank him enough for choosing Mizzou and making Mizzou cool again and making it okay. And, you know, I don't think Kevin Coleman comes back home if Luther Burden hadn't been here and accomplished what he had. I don't know that Caden Green comes back home if he hasn't accomplished what he had. So a lot of appreciation for him. And then, you know, I would just remind him that the best ability is availability, so get his butt out of that training room. Bears, and make sure he's taking care of the things he needs to take care of so he can get ready to practice. You know, I put my butt on the line and recommended the coach. Let him down right now.
Some really good comments there from Coach, and he is right. I mean, whether you're a Mizzou fan or not, you got to admit that times have changed. Things have changed up there in Columbia, and one of the things that stood out to me, not only the stadium expanding, but the recruiting classes. You know, one of the things that he referenced some of those guys coming back. I don't think they were coming back if it weren't for a guy like Luther or the energy that Drink and them have made here the last couple of seasons. So, I mean, you look at the recruiting classes post, 2019? I think we hovered around in the 40s. Now, then we got to the 30s and 20s, transfers in the teens. I mean, recruiting is at an all-time high for MIZ, and it's, again, the groundwork that some of these players put in by originally taking a chance. So, all right, that's all I got for camps right now. Do want to go to the drunk lines. And, if you want to be a part of this, there'll be a link in the show notes. Feel free to leave voicemail, and I promise I will try to get to as many as I can. This first one's going to come from South Carolina, Cousin AJ.
Salutations, cousins. As a Gamecock fan, I am very confident in Lenora Sellers. I'm very confident in Clayton White in that defense. What I don't know is, with South Carolina not being overlooked by everybody now, can the team live up to the hype? Can the team take the next step? We're underdogs last year, snuck up on everybody, feel good story at the end. Can South Carolina be that team who starts in the top 25 and stays there instead of coming in late with a strong finish? I know you play your best ball late, but you got to win early to make those games matter.
It's a good question. And, you know, when I think of South Carolina, one of the things that I think about is the success that Shane Beamer has had, but also a little bit of the seesaw effect. We talk about how the season ended in 2022, followed by a terrible 23, and then a bounce back to a magical 24. So consistency is what we're looking for, and I think we get it. And, you know, you did make a good comment there. I feel like South Carolina is definitely not sneaking up on anyone, but early season success is where South Carolina is going to lay the groundwork to have a successful season. So you got to come out of the gates. You got to crush Virginia Tech. Basically what you want to do is you want to run the board until October 11th. Now that's not easy because Mizzou's in there, Vandy's in there, Virginia Tech's in there. But if you're able to get to that first bye week, then all of a sudden, you know, people really have a bullseye on you because you're a hot team that's coming into their house. We're talking to LSU, Ole Miss, Texas A&M. Those swing games right there on the road, you're able to go in, create havoc. I mean, I can't say this enough. Lenora Sellers, when you got this guy, I mean, let's just be real. And whether you like Lenoris or not, I don't really care. Because if you've watched him, you see he has it. He's a special, special athlete. He is one of those kids that is going to be playing in the NFL for a long, long period of time. And if there's enough help around him, anything's possible. And so to say that people are overlooking you, it's impossible when you got Lenore Sellers on your team because everybody's going to know exactly what you're going to be bringing in. But I appreciate the call, cuz. Let's see. Let's go to Benny, Cousin Benny.
Hey, Cousin Shane. This is Cousin Benny Truscott in Missouri, M-I-Z. I got a question for you. Yeah, I'm a huge Mizzou homer. Obviously, everybody knows that. But my question is, why do we give Ole Miss so much leeway and belief when they return the fewest amount of defensive starters and the fewest amount of offensive starters, where they're basically rebuilding the entire thing? all because, and you know, we believe in them because of Austin Simmons or whoever the heck it is. I can't remember the name of their quarterback. But why do we believe in, because he's going to be good because of his one game against Georgia, that Mizzou, on the other hand, can't be good, even though Bo Prebula was great against Wisconsin and has actually a lot more playing time because he's played 2 years as a backup, has more passing yards and rushing touchdowns, etc., than Ole Miss QB. But Mizzou returns 70%, I think it was 74% of their defense and everything.
You're right, cuz. I mean, Benny, how many times I got to say it, you know, without sounding like a homer. Now, the problem with the argument is Lane Kiffin is the X factor here because he has proven over the last 4 years that he's going to win 10 games. You look at it, 39 the last four games now, or 4 years. Now, Drink, on the other hand, also having success, but it's on a two-year sample size. I think that's why people are ultimately giving Lane Kiffin the nod, just because this is, they just need to see it. You know what I'm saying? It's like you have to lose to Mizzou a couple years in a row for people to respect you. 1 year they're going to come up with, well, this happened or this. It's because the stars lined up and Mizzou had a successful season. Bullshit. It's going to take some ass beatings for people to really give the respect that Mizzou deserves. But consistency, you know, Ole Miss is consistently staying toward the top. They're consistently staying in college football playoff talk, even though they've not made it. That's why I believe Ole Miss is getting the nod. Now, if Drink comes out here with another 10-11 win season, then, yeah, I think all bets are off. I feel like Ole Miss is potentially going to take a step back. But the reason I'm hesitant, because Lane Kiffin has proved me wrong every single damn time. So that's the main reason for me. But I appreciate you calling in, cuz. Let's go to Cousin Al.
Hey, Cousin Shane, this is Cousin Al. Love the show, love all the content y'all put out from SEC Media Week, and loving this hangover show. It's currently about 3:57. I'm going to be hungover tomorrow. I've been having a few drinks and got to be up at 7 in the morning, so eager to hear this show in the morning. Look, I'm a big Tennessee fan, pretty rational Tennessee fan, but I got a question for you. Everybody just assumes Aguilar is going to carry us through the season and hopefully get us about 7, 8, maybe 9 wins. Realistically, what do you think his chances are of starting week 6 against Arkansas? I mean, that's a big game that all the fans expect to win. We should have won last year. He's going to have Syracuse, Georgia, and Mississippi State to kind of prove himself. And if he doesn't, do they keep him in and hope he can get it, or do we see Merkslinger get his toes wet right before the Bama game the next week?
Thank you, Big Al. Appreciate you calling in. And, you know, interesting comments. We were at SEC Media Days. One of the conversations we had with our boy Austin Price was, this is a quarterback competition, you know, similar to Mizzou here. Everybody has dubbed Aguilar as the guy, which, you know, based off experience, probably going to be the case. But Merklinger has an opportunity to take over the reins here. Now, if you're looking at why does a quarterback get dethroned, usually it's because there's not success early in the season. I do worry a little bit about Tennessee's schedule right out of the gate with Syracuse. Going to be a tougher team, I think, than what Vegas says. Georgia, obviously, going to be a damn barn burner. But if you can get through those games with one loss, I feel like whoever the starting quarterback is remains the starting quarterback. Josh Heupel's not huge on switching out. So this quarterback competition, in my opinion, will be settled by, you know, 2 or 3 weeks into fall camp here. And then ultimately, whoever gets that starting nod will be that starting quarterback the remainder of the season. So if we have a quarterback swap at that Arkansas game, then shit, went wrong, and I hope that's not the case. But if he's more talented, obviously you want to see Merklinger out there. So last one I got for you, JP sent a creepy one in here, but I'm going to include it because I love the damn guy.
I'm guessing I'm still asleep, and Shane still can't use the buttons. So let me get this out of the way. what's your favorite scary move? I mean, the legend, Cousin JR, has done it again. Love you, Shane.
Oh, love you too, brother. And I love all you guys. Thank you for coming in. Appreciate everybody hanging out with us early this morning. Remember, we'll be back Wednesday. Big show will be on tonight, so be sure to tune in. We've got the smart guy coming in. Haven't seen him in a little bit, so him and Steve-O going to be, who knows what they're going to be bringing up today. Probably a lot of stats and numbers and things like that. But I'll be seeing you guys Wednesday morning. If you got any other content, send my way. Please tag me. I'll give you a shout-out. And if you've got any voicemails you want to send in, again, in the show notes, you can do that. All right, y'all have a wonderful day. Go Vols.
Hey, buddy, this beer's for you, Mike, and Cousin Shane. That SEC podcast loves the pirate, and the pirate loves that SEC podcast. Hail State.